Good morning with KUAC Local News. I'm Robin. About 2,000 Golden Valley Electric customers on the west end of Fairbanks were impacted by a power outage last night. The outage was reported at 5:27 p.m. and power was completely restored about 2 hours later. The Chena Ridge and areas west and south of the university were affected. The outage was caused by a tree in the line near Gold Hill Road. Governor Mike Dunleavy has tested positive for COVID-19, his office said yesterday. He tested negative on Sunday, a day after being exposed to a person with a positive case. He said then he would quarantine at home, but began feeling sick Tuesday night and took another test yesterday morning, and it was positive, his office said. He's being treated by his own doctor. The governor was waiting his turn to get the COVID-19 vaccine. He's 59 and too young to get vaccinated as an elder. He had surgery in 2017 for a mild heart condition that might make him eligible under some criteria, but not until he tests negative again for the disease. His office said yesterday the governor has mild symptoms that emerged while he was in quarantine, so no other close contacts have been identified. A member of the Alaska House has also tested positive for COVID-19 yesterday. The State House member has not been publicly identified, but in a letter first reported by the Anchorage Daily News, House Speaker Louise Stutes canceled all House meetings for today. Legislators and staff who work at the Capitol must be tested for COVID-19 every 5 days and are screened for symptoms every day in order to gain access to the Capitol building. Federal law enforcement officers arrested a North Pole man Tuesday on weapons and assault charges for what investigators say was a botched attempt to rob a drug dealer. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Officers with the U.S. Marshals Violent Offender Task Force and the Fairbanks Area Narcotics Team arrested 24-year-old Brandon Laslofi Tuesday in North Pole for several outstanding state warrants stemming from an attempted robbery of an alleged heroin dealer. Laslofi was taken to Fairbanks Correctional Center and charged with weapons misconduct and attempted assault charges for his role in the robbery that occurred more than 2 months ago, according to Randy Coyne, a supervisory deputy U.S. Marshal.
The incident occurred December the 9th in the early morning hours.
That's when Laslofi and two passengers drove to the Birch Hill Cemetery to meet another man under the guise of buying some heroin. But investigators say Laslofi and one of his two passengers, 23-year-old Gabrielle Titus of Fairbanks, actually intended to rob the man, identified as 52-year-old Roger Brown Jr. of Fairbanks. But investigators say it didn't go down that way. They say Brown pulled a gun and opened fire, wounding Laslofi and Titus. The other passenger wasn't hurt. Investigators didn't identify her because she hasn't been charged. That person then drove Laslofi and Titus back into town, but on their way, the vehicle was rammed by another while they were southbound on a stretch of the old Stees Highway just south of the Johansson Expressway. That's where police found them in their vehicle at about 5:45 a.m. December 9th after they got a 911 call about a road rage incident. Both Laslofi and Titus were taken to Fairbanks Memorial Hospital where they were treated and released. Alaska State Troopers later located Brown and arrested him on two counts of first-degree assault and misconduct charges for weapons and controlled substances. Titus also was arrested and charged with robbery, evidence tampering, and weapons misconduct. Coyne says police then turned to the Marshals Service and Fairbanks Area Narcotics Team to bring in Laslofi.
Fairbanks Police Department determined that Laslofi was involved in the robbery and sought warrants for his arrest. And so we went out and located him and got him into custody.
During Laslofi's initial appearance Wednesday, a judge set bail at $500,000. In Delta Junction, I'm Tim Ellis.
The State Health Department announced yesterday that Alaska will receive 60,000 first doses of COVID-19 vaccine for the month of March. Another 32,000 doses have been allocated to Alaska's tribal health system by the Federal Indian Health Service. Squeezed into the last days of February, states are getting a supplemental allocation of vaccine. For Alaska, this is almost 10,000 doses, 6,000 to the state, and almost 4,000 to tribal clients. There will also be federal vaccine allocated to soldiers and veterans. Chief Medical Officer Ann Zink says another vaccine has received emergency use authorization.
So it's pretty exciting to think of 100,000 Alaskans being able to be vaccinated this next month with this additional dosing. This does not include the Johnson & Johnson vaccine that has received FDA approval, but is still going through the CDC approval process before it is available. It's likely we'll expect vaccine in March of the Johnson & Johnson. But as you can see, we have both the Pfizer and Moderna in much larger quantities coming into the state.
The vaccine rollout has been very successful for seniors. At least 61% of those age 65 and over have received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. More than one in four Alaska adults have received at least one shot, according to figures from the State Health Department. A resolution in front of the Fairbanks North Scarborough Assembly tonight would oppose Senate Bill 39, which is sponsored by Wasilla Republican Senator Mike Schauer. SB 39 would undo part of the 2016 Citizens Initiative that put automatic voter registration into Alaska's permanent fund dividend application. It would mean Alaskans could register to vote when applying for their PFD, but they would need to opt in rather than opt out. The 2016 initiative was approved by almost 65% of voters. Since then, more than 70,000 people have become registered voters in Alaska.
I'm having people say that that's the will of the people, but over a third of the state didn't want it. And why didn't they want it? Because they did not want to be automatically registered to vote just to get their PFD.
Schauer filed a similar bill in 2019, which would have repealed the initiative. This year, his staff asked people on social media what they thought of the automatic voter registration.
There's a host of Alaskans that want to register for their PFD and don't want to be forced to register. And people go, why not? I don't know. Ask them. But we have had hundreds of people tell us they don't want that.
Schauer says the bill is to prevent voter fraud and streamline the state's voter rolls. A consequence of the initiative is that there are now more voters than adults in Alaska. There are 546,000 people over the age of 18, according to the Department of Labor's July estimate, and almost 600,000 registered voters as of January 2021, according to the Division of Elections. The division purges voter rolls every year and compares data with 29 other states that participate in the Electronic Registration Information Center. The bill has been criticized as a fix for something that's not broken. In municipal and statewide elections in 2020 that were complicated by the pandemic and a record voter turnout, there were no reported incidents of fraud. The resolution, sponsored by Assemblymembers Leah Berman-Williams, Marna Sanford, and Mindy O'Neill, says efforts to increase the ability of Alaskans to vote in any secure way possible should be increased, not decreased. The resolution says that because the state's permanent fund division already uses fraud detection to prevent voter registration fraud, Alaska has the most accurate voter database in the country. The first case of a highly transmissible variant of the COVID-19 virus has been detected in Alaska. The P1 variant likely originated in Brazil, and Alaska is only the fifth state to have a confirmed case. Alaska's chief epidemiologist, Dr. Joe McLaughlin, said the case was first discovered on Tuesday in a specimen collected from an Anchorage resident who had no travel history, suggesting that the case was a result of community spread.
The person had symptom onset in early February, and about 4 days prior to symptom onset reported that they had eaten a shared meal with others unmasked at a restaurant here in Anchorage. And so that's a potential of transmission.
McLaughlin said three close contacts also tested positive for COVID-19, but their samples haven't yet been analyzed for the new variant. The state also reported a second case of the B.1.1.7 variant, another more contagious variant that originated in Britain. McLaughlin says the case was also an Anchorage resident. They were tested at the airport after traveling to the lower 48. It's the second case of the British variant reported in the state after a positive case was confirmed in a December sample. State public health officials continue to recommend that Alaskans avoid indoor gatherings with non-household members, avoid crowds, wear masks, and stay 6 feet away from anyone not in their household. For KUAC Local News, I'm Robin.